On Tuesday morning, when Paul Means called me on the phone, and he said, "I'm positive that I want you to preach on Sunday, Jack." And I said, "Could you say that again with a comma after the positive?" And it happens to us all, doesn't it? Yes. We wish him a hearty recovery, and it gives me a chance to be among you. You know, it's so much easier sitting in the choir or sitting in the pew listening to great sermons, and now I've got to deliver one. Oh, boy. So bear with me. As you can already tell, I've skipped the call to worship. Hope I won't skip the sermon, but then you really would get out early. Our scripture reading is found in Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son and his brother, beginning with verse 11. Let us listen for the word of God. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the young son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? Here I am dying of hunger. I will get up. I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And he ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son began to say what he had rehearsed, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father interrupts him and said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. But the elder son was in the field." Thus ends our scripture reading for this, the Lord's day. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall endure forever. Today's scripture reading is a parable that is found only in Luke's gospel. We've probably heard it a million times in one way or another. The generous father, the spendthrift son who wastes it all and hits bottom somewhere in a distant country. And then there's that hardworking elder brother staying close to home. Jesus told this story in response to criticism by scribes and Pharisees over his table fellowship with the wrong kind of people. As they listened to the master tell this story, I can imagine the sinners, no doubt, identifying with that younger son who lost his way. And I can imagine the religious leaders identifying with the elder brother who had been faithful all his life long in dutiful response to his father. Which brother did the father like best? Is he talking about me here? I remember reading in December 2021, just a few years ago, in the Tampa Bay Times, a man named Lane Bess choked up describing watching the sunset from his Miami Beach apartment. It's not that the 60-year-old tech entrepreneur was unfamiliar with sunsets. After all, he had lived in Florida much of his adult life. The difference is he was watching the sunset from a different point of view. He was watching it from 8 miles up. He had just spent a brief but intense 11 minutes aboard the Blue Origin space shuttle. And he had been weightless and able to gaze out the porthole windows at his home planet. And even though he was in suborbital space for just a few minutes, Bess described the experience as life-changing. You think about the pandemic we were experiencing at the time, the political unrest going on down there, the underprivileged people who are starving. And then you look at this beautiful blue and green planet and think to yourself, there's enough here for everyone to be okay. I have a much different feeling now. I'm a different person. If you could only see what I saw for just those few minutes, you too might see a whole new world. I remember one day long ago, I too woke up, looked out the window, and to my surprise, I saw a whole new world. I was like Dorothy when she regained consciousness after the twister lifted her house up and landed it in Oz. And I had a strange feeling I wasn't in Kansas anymore. It was as if I had landed on another planet, but nobody seemed to acknowledge it. I wandered through the streets. I stumbled along. I had to walk and talk a new way, like I was getting a second chance at life. Some well-meaning friends stopped me and slapped me on the cheek and said, "Wake up, face facts, get real." But they just wanted to lasso me back into that old way of living that I had left behind. I had moved on. I had taken up residence in a new reality. I was being reconciled to God. It took a while to believe that God, whom I could never reach with all my efforts, had reached out to me, or that the supreme judge to whom I could never measure up as adequate had judged me righteous, forgiven, or that the one that I had fled so many times and avoided his presence had raced toward me and embraced me and welcomed me back home. I see each Sunday as we gather here and find that familiar pew that seems to have our name on it, that we can sit in and know who's sitting to the left and right of us each time. There's still plenty of seats in the front. Couldn't give them away at the first service. My goodness. Each Sunday that we gather in this familiar place, we seek to have our vision corrected so we can see more clearly. And some Sundays the clouds part and a sunburst epiphany shines its light on our new horizon. And we can climb that mountain and get to see what God has on the other side in store for us. And once we have seen that vision, we can't be satisfied with the husks and pods and corn cobs that lay in front of us. We can't be satisfied with the self-satisfaction that we worked hard and have achieved all that we deserve. The Apostle Paul said it well. If anyone is in Christ, here is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. So there is room in this new world for that younger prodigal and all those like him who hit bottom and yearn for the day when they can just get back in the good graces of his Father. Even if they treat me as a hired servant, that would be better than where they are now. There is room in this new world for the elder prodigal son who never left home. Always hardworking, faithful, but somehow resents the generosity of his father with this ne'er-do-well brother of his. So there he stands, arms crossed, still sweaty after a hard day in the family business. He's on the edge of going into the party, but he's just not there yet. How about you? Do you identify with any of those brothers or sisters? Who would you identify with? Which word of grace would you like to hear from your Heavenly Father as the invitation to the feast? The parable is really about the loving Father, isn't it? In the end, both children have to deal with this loving father. On the one hand, he gives both sons what they need. He lets the younger son come back into the family despite all his waywardness. He gives the older son what he needs, reassurance. You are always with me. Everything I have is yours. But the father does not give the younger son everything he wants. He does not make him one of the hired servants. He brings him back as a restored, complete son with robe and ring and sandals on his feet. And the elder brother doesn't get exactly what he wants, a party exclusively for his friends with a goat. He gets everything, including his younger brother. A story like this somehow needs an ending. So this is my in conclusion part. We are left wondering if the younger brother will learn his lesson. Will he ever settle down responsibly after reaching the end of his resources and coming back home? We're also left hanging if that elder brother will overcome his anger and resentment and join the party. Come, join the feast. Will his family live happily ever after? Somehow, the master storyteller doesn't end the story here. There's a pregnant pause at the end as each of us gets to finish the story for ourselves with each day of our lives. As we prepare to come to the table of our Lord this day, let us remember our Heavenly Father who loves us all so much that He sent His only Son to love us, care for us, die for us. We don't take this life journey alone. The Almighty invites us and awaits our return. He has plans for us. He blesses us. Let us come to the feast. Let us come to the table. Let us pray. Almighty God, help us to open our eyes and ears to the new world coming that you have in store for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.